Lourdes Health System, one of the region's leading healthcare providers, proudly presents Lourdes Health Talk. Here's Melanie Cole.
Radiation therapy can play such a pivotal role in the treatment of cancer of all stages and types and can result in long-term curative outcomes for patients with early stage disease. My guest to tell us about radiation oncology is Dr. Tala Sheikh. He's the medical director of radiation oncology at Lourdes Health System. Dr. Sheikh, for the listeners, give us a little lesson. What is radiation therapy?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, radiation therapy is the delivery of high energy X-rays to an area to essentially eradicate a cancer. And the X-rays you receive during radiation treatment is actually the same X-rays you'd get from, let's say, a chest X-ray or a CAT scan. The only real difference is that during radiation treatment, the machine is kind of this fancy machine that can really target an area and deliver a very high dose of radiation to a very small target, while minimizing dose to surrounding structures. And so these machines have allowed us to kind of harness all that energy and target specific, cancer areas that we'd like to cure.
So let's break up a few myths first, because people are a little bit afraid. They hear the word radiation right away. That makes them afraid. Does it only kill cancer cells? And how do you target those cells? Is this a dangerous type of therapy?
I think that's a good question. And I think that's a common question that patients and even providers often have. So the way that we deliver radiation is very precise and accurate. And so it can essentially really target the radiation dose to a very specific areas, which allows us to really hone in and kind of make sure that surrounding structures are not getting much radiation dose. With that said, it is inevitable that surrounding normal tissue will get some radiation dose as well. But the way that we're able to cure patients with relatively minimal toxicity in most situations is because the way that these cancer cells function is very susceptible to radiation damage. So inherently, cancer cells are not able to repair themselves the way that normal tissue is. So what happens is, whenever we deliver radiation daily to a patient, it will kill some of the cancer cells directly on impact. But more commonly, some of these cells will die as they try to divide. So as they're continuing to divide, they're dying because they don't have the repair mechanism as the radiation is damaging their DNA. Meanwhile, our normal cells have the ability to stop and repair themselves and realize that something is wrong and fix themselves. And that's kind of what we're really targeting. We're differentiating the repair pathways between normal cells and cancer cells. And that helps us to really target and effectively kill cancer cells while minimizing dose to surrounding structures.
What a great explanation. Dr. Sheikh, I mean, you know, that is a question that I'm sure you've heard a lot. So while you're in such a great teaching mode, we hear about so many different types of radiation therapy, IORT, beam, external, internal, seed implant. I mean, there's just so many different types and letters that we're hearing about. Explain a little bit about some of the different types of radiation therapy that you might use. And while you're doing that, can any cancer be treated with some type of one of these types of radiation therapy?
Sure, yeah. So, as radiation oncologists, we do a good job of confusing everybody else. We've made a lot of abbreviations and other things really just so we can sound smarter than we actually are. I think, the way I tell patients, there's two main broad categories of ways we treat patients. It's either externally or internally. And then there's kind of subdivisions of the ways we do a lot of the external radiation. So, and patients will often come into my office and will, bring in some of these names that they've heard of and ask if they could be treated this way. So external radiation, the most common ways we typically treat patients are with something called intensity modulated radiation therapy, IMRT, which is basically just a fancy way of saying we're able to modulate the beams and really precisely conformally treat a target while minimizing dose to a surrounding structure. It's really an advanced technology in the radiation machines, which has probably been developed over the past, 15, 20 years. Another common one is IGRT, which is basically just image guidance radiation therapy, which allows us to take, you know, pictures every day and makes us sure we're treating the right area every day. So those are probably the most common things that we'll do in terms of external radiation. Other common questions are SBRT, which is stereotactic body radiation, which is really, I think, the future of radiation, which allows us to treat very, very high doses of radiation over a shorter period of time. As an example, you know, conventional radiation for prostate cancer used to be small radiation doses every day for about 8 or 9 weeks. And now certain patients may be candidates for stereotactic body radiation, where you could deliver radiation over, you know, just about 5 treatments, where we're delivering just very high doses over a shorter period of time. Other external radiation treatment types, people often ask me about protons, which is another even newer type of radiation treatment, which is basically using a different type of particle, which, you know, doesn't travel through the patient entirely. Essentially, it travels to a tumor, treats the tumor, and then stops. It's really been shown to be effective in pediatric tumors and maybe in the recurrent setting. And I think there's a lot of interesting research going on kind of in this setting. Internal radiation, you know, maybe something like prostate seeds or brachytherapy is kind of the fancy term for it, where you may, you know, where you kind of treat the patient from an internal source rather than from an external machine. So, you know, these, when you're doing internal radiation, you're actually doing a procedure where you may put the radiation source into the patient, and treat the patient. You know, I think IORT kind of is a subdivision of this as well, where, you know, certain breast cancer patients may be candidates to receive just a high dose of radiation during their, you know, during their surgery, just to the lumpectomy site, and they're kind of done. So there's a lot of, you know, I think overall, there's a lot of really, really fancy, amazing things going on in radiation. There's a lot of new technology. There's constant research. And I think where we were, you know, 20 years ago is completely different from where we were today. We're able to treat patients, you know, more effectively while minimizing toxicity. We've really increase the therapeutic ratio and are offering better chances of cure while patients are tolerating it quite well.
Well, then let's speak about that, Dr. Shake. How is radiation used with other cancer treatments, and how do you plan it for an individual patient based on whether they are going through other types of treatments? What have you seen?
Yeah, so, you know, I think radiation is used differently in every type of cancer. And it's not every patient is a candidate for radiation treatment, you know. I think the most common areas we'd probably treat as radiation oncologists are treating prostate cancer patients, you know, so definitively where they just get radiation alone, or in some patients they may get it after surgery. And the other most common cancer type that we probably treat is in breast cancer patients who get a lumpectomy or certain high-risk mastectomy patients who need radiation after their surgery. But, you know, radiation is used in all types of cancer. And, you know, there's data that says probably about 60 to 70% of cancer patients at some point in their disease course will require some type of radiation. Because in addition to kind of being a primary treatment modality up front, it's often used in the metastatic setting. If a patient, you know, develops a brain metastasis and requires radiosurgery, or if a patient just has a bone metastasis and needs, you know, a palliative radiation to an area. So, you know, there's a lot of different indications for radiation. You know, our consults with patients are long and complex. I think there's always discussion about how we're going to treat these patients or where radiation fits in. You know, and I'm hesitant to say there's cancers that radiation has no role in. You know, there's definitely types of cancers where we are less likely to treat patients, like leukemias and things like that. But I think it definitely does have a growing role in more and more cancers. In general, just to answer the second part of your question, let's say someone is diagnosed with a cancer and needs radiation. You know, the first step is obviously doing a consultation with a radiation oncologist. We kind of discuss, you know, the disease course, the radiation side effects, et cetera, et cetera. And then after that, you know, the patient comes back and we typically have them do a special type of CAT scan. It's often called either a CT simulation or a planning scan or something like that, where we kind of put the patient in the position they'll be in for the radiation treatment. After we do that scan, we typically have them return in about a week or two to start the radiation treatment. In that week or two, you know, although the patient is at home, you know, in the office, we're doing a lot of things. You know, we're drawing out the tumor, we're drawing it out organs at risk. We are, you know, kind of doing these quality assurance checklists. We're doing dosimetric analysis to analyze how we could treat this patient. It's really a complex process. And then after that, the patient starts radiation about a week or two later. And then the radiation course can really vary greatly depending on what we're treating and how we're treating them.
So as we wrap up, what a fascinating profession that you're in, Dr. Shaikh, and really helping so many people. Where do you think the world of radiation therapy is going from here? What research would you like patients to know about that's being done to improve this type of therapy? As you mentioned, there are some side effects and, you know, people get concerned about all of those things and some of the myths we talked about. Where do you see it going? What's exciting? And what would you like us to know about radiation therapy?
I really think the most exciting, I think there's two recent research kind of avenues that have been really exciting for radiation oncology. One is in the world of oligometastatic disease. So oligometastatic disease is a patient who has metastatic cancer, but may only have one or two or three sites of metastasis. So historically, if a patient had, you know, a breast cancer and it went to the bone, it was almost a death sentence where we'd say, you know what, it's in the bone, give them chemotherapy, we can't cure this patient. And now we're realizing that in patients who may have, you know, a breast cancer and only has, you know, one, two, three sites of metastasis, these patients may still be curable. And radiation oncology is actually one of the specialties that's playing a major role in these oligometastatic patients. There's research that now suggests that in these patients who have limited metastasis, we may be able to treat these patients very aggressively, where we treat these sites of metastasis with stereotactic radiation and effectively eradicate these different areas of cancer. And there's been actually recent research articles this year. There's been two big studies published, which have basically demonstrated that there is an improvement in outcomes who get radiation to these additional metastatic sites. And I really think it's going to change the way that we treat patients, because I think metastatic cancer is not metastatic cancer the way it was before. And I think, you know, these advancements in radiation have really played an important role. I think the second avenue that's very important for radiation oncology is actually we're bridging more and more out of the oncology world. You know, radiation does in general play a role in treating non-cancer sites. You know, we'll treat keloids or trigeminal neuralgia or other, you know, benign tumors in the brain. But there's been research, again, there was a New England Journal of Medicine article probably about a year or two ago in treating patients with refractory ventricular tachycardia and other abnormal arrhythmias with stereotactic body radiation. And honestly, the results have been incredible. And I think that's going to be a very interesting avenue where, you know, instead of having patients undergo, you know, other ablative procedures, I think radiation will start to play more of a role in some of these cardiac procedures, because there's a lot of interesting data out there. There's a lot of trials ongoing. And I think it'll really change the way we treat other sites as well.
And what would you like listeners to know about what you do for a living and what questions you want them to ask if they are someone who is a candidate for a certain type of radiation therapy? And as you said, there are so many with so many letters. What would you like them to know? What's your best advice?
Yeah, so I think it's always important for patients to be, you know, open and, you know, talk to their oncologist about any concerns that they have. I think there's never a bad question. You know, I'm always myself, and I know most oncologists are in this specialty because they want to help people. So if you have a question or if you don't understand something, because I know these things are complex and confusing even for providers, for myself sometimes, you know, we get bogged down with all these, you know, different treatment techniques and options. I think it's great to really ask a lot of questions and ask why they're a candidate for something, why they're not a candidate for something. You know, if you're confused, you know, call back or have a loved one call. I also think it's important to get second opinions and see what other stuff is out there, because I really think there's a lot of incredible stuff going on. And, you know, unless you ask, sometimes you may not realize what you're a candidate for. But I think in general, myself and most oncologists are really willing and, you know, able to answer any questions you may have.
Wow, what a great segment. So interesting and great information. Dr. Shaikh, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your incredible expertise and explaining this all. As you said, it can be confusing, and you explained it so well. Thank you again. That wraps up another episode of Lourdes Health Talk. Head on over to our website at lourdesnet.org for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. If you found this podcast as cool as I did, please share with your friends and family on social media and be sure to check out all the other fascinating podcasts in our library. I'm Melanie Cole.